And we're going to be in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, Galatians 1, if you will, please. Galatians 1, we've been going through on Sunday mornings and looking at one nation over God. We've been through two sermons already, and I hope was a help to you. You folks know your Bibles, and I appreciate you tuning in and being faithful. Galatians 1, we're going to continue in that same, along the same lines here. One nation over God. We know a nation we live in today is struggling. It is a direct result of the sin of our nation. I believe that, and that we've turned our backs on our God. We've turned our backs. And we see that. And always, history always repeats itself. You go back to the Old Testament, you see this very clearly, right? The nation of Israel is a prime example for us in America and how God set apart a certain group of people. He blessed that people and He gave them the commission to propagate His truth to the people around them. And then they eventually turned and said, hey, Samuel, we want a king like the people around us. And that's a tragic day in the life of any people or nation when we turn and say, I'd rather be like the world than be like God's children, be one of His. And we see that what happened eventually, that nation went into utter and complete collapse and captivity and almost real close to complete annihilation as a people group, the Jewish nation. Now, we're going to see today, again, Paul continues and he's speaking, as you know, to the churches. There's a group of churches in the region called Galatia that he's writing to. And notice what he says again, chapter 1, he says, verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would, notice this, pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, again, that word pervert means to not use for its intended purpose. Okay, they took the gospel, what Paul gave them, and basically inverted it or changed it into something else. And you know what that was. Those Judaizers came into those churches and said, you need to apply the law. You know, I know Paul said it's by grace through faith, but you're missing a couple things. And Paul comes back and says, now listen, I marvel that you're so soon removed. Now, again, let me clarify today. One thing that I want to hit on is that I believe we're a nation over God because there are such a push today of false gospels in our nation, in America. As I said last week, our nation is produced by way of religions, produced basically cults. We've not produced anything of significance. We've produced the JWs, we've produced the Mormons, we've produced Seventh-day Adventists, we've produced Charismatics, Pentecostals. Now, a lot of those people, I believe there's a lot of people saved within maybe some of the Pentecostal Charismatic, but they're wrong, majorly wrong on doctrine. And we know that. We preach that from this pulpit. And we think about, that's what America's produced. And it's a false gospel. And Paul encourages these people to come back. Come back. Now notice verse 8. But we, though we or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He says, if I'm pleasing man, I would not be beaten, stoned, imprisoned, you know, all of that. I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please Christ, that I may know Him, right? He later will say, that I may know Him. Now, there's another gospel. There's another doctrine, if you will, in America that's turned the hearts of the American people against God. Now, let me say something here off the bat. Number one, we've been given the truth. We've been given the truth. 66 books written by over 40 different authors. Truth. Are we missing something? No. Are there books missing? Are there secret books? There's a bunch of shows on today. The secret books of the Bible. No, nothing. We believe in what's called the canon of Scripture, meaning that all 66 books are the books that we need and all we need, right? People say, oh, there's missing books, the Apocrypha, other things. No, we're not. You do your research and you do your study, you know and understand. Now we have the truth. This truth is unchanging. Paul says, I marvel you're so soon removed unto another gospel. You're removed. You've backed off from it and you've associated yourself with another gospel, which is not another gospel, he says. There's no other gospel. There's no other doctrinal truth. We have the Bible today. We have all that we need. Now the truth is unchanging. If you believe like I do, and I believe that you do, We believe this Bible is inspired by God. God breathed the Scriptures. Now we know that. We believe also that it was inspired. We believe that it was preserved by God. And you folks know that. We won't go into detail with some of that, but I hope to at a later point, but the preservation of Scripture. Back in about the late 1940s, there were some Bedouin sheep guys that were out one day. They threw a rock into a cave just for fun, as young boys do, and they heard some crashes. You know the story. A crash of some kind of pot or some glass or something. They went in to look and investigate. They found a bunch of pots. They opened them up. What was inside? Scripture, called the Dead Sea Scrolls. Do you know what the Dead Sea Scrolls said? Well, in particular, it was obviously the Scriptures, but there was almost a complete book of Isaiah. By the way, do you know what that scroll, which predated Christ by several thousand years, almost verbatim, the Isaiah we have in this Bible? So my friends, just think about it. We do not have a contaminated Scripture today. We do not have missing pieces to the truth. And I love that, don't you? We have the Bible, preserved, inspired. I'm saying today that we have a truth that is unchanging, that's been given to us, that's been handed down. For you, it may have been a grandfather, a father, a mother, somebody in your life handed down the truth and said, Sonny Jim or honey, Susie Q, this is the truth. Now keep it. Now keep it. Hand it down. That's what we're doing today. Handing it down, handing it down, handing it down, handing it down to our children now, grandchildren, the truth. And we say the truth is unchanging. I'm saying today America has taken that and said, you know what? No, the truth is changing. We're missing. Paul says, I gave you the truth. Now let me say a few things. This truth was given by Jesus Christ. It was given. John 14, you remember, Jesus said, if I go away, I'll come back. If things were different, what's he say? I would have told you. He said, if there's something that I was going to do and I didn't tell you, I would have told you this. Everything you need, I told you. You have, right? It was given by Christ. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, he says in John 17. You know that. You know that. Many more verses. John 4, 24. Let me turn there before I misquote it. John 4, verse 24. Listen to what he says, John 4, 24. God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In truth. How do we worship God? What if we don't have the truth? Was Jesus lying to us? We don't have the truth. We don't have a completed Bible. We don't have what we need. God, Jesus Christ must be lying. He's just flattering us, fluffing. Yeah, serve me in truth. Well, what truth? He's given us the truth, right? You know that. They go on to speak about that. Who is the Messiah? He says, verse 25, the woman says, I know he'll come. He says, verse 26, I that speak unto thee am he. I'm he. Now, you know the context here of the woman at the well. She goes back to her village and tells all the people, hey, I've heard a man that tells me all that I ever did. He's the truth, isn't he? And all the village comes out, and the Bible says that many believed on him. So it was given by Christ. Christ kept nothing from us. Let me say something again to you, maybe listening today or here, especially. Christ is keeping nothing from you. I hate it when people keep something from me, don't you? I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I can't stand when people, you know they know something that you don't know. They're not giving it to you, right? The information. Or they're being divisive or deceitful, excuse me, about something. I can't stand that. And I know you can't either. Christ kept nothing from us. He loves us. He loves us. You would keep nothing from your children that was for their good, right? You would say, well, honey, go ahead and you can run around in the street out there. Just be careful. No. You're going to say, no, you're not running in the street. Why? Because there's big cars and trucks. Honey, you might not want to eat just candy. It's going to make your stomach hurt, right, girls? We went through this week. What do you want for dinner? I want candy. We said, no, you can't have candy for dinner. You got to have something else. But why? We had a little private session in the back bedroom there for a little bit. You can't have just candy. You got to have something. You think about, I'm being very funny, but you think about, Christ kept nothing from us. Christ warned us about false gospels and false prophets. You know that. Matthew 7, he says, beware. Beware. There will come, and there is today, we know. And the beautiful thing about the Scripture is, we don't hear Joe Blow on the radio or on the television or on your iPod or iPad on a podcast and go, whoa, I didn't know that. No, what do? We fact check everything someone says, and we take our Bible at home, and I pray, Lord willing, you can read and understand, and I know you can, but you fact check it. You say, well, he said this, and I don't know about that. You know the Bible. The Bible says, Paul says clearly there to the church at Thessalonica, what did he say? Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove it. If it's bad, let it go. If it's good, you hold it. How do we do that, Paul? There's a Bible. And let me say again, Christ kept nothing from us. Christ, number two, warned us about false prophets and gospels. And thirdly, he gave us the whole truth, not parts of the truth. As you think about this, not parts of the truth. We have all that we need today in our Bibles. We know it. We understand it. It was given by Christ. It was propagated by the apostles. Now, come back to Galatians 1, if you will, with me, please. In Galatians 1, he's coming back. Now, as he continues here, he says there in verse 11 of Galatians 1, "But I certify you, brethren," okay, "that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." Verse 12, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it," meaning by man, "but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, he clarifies this because they said, well, Paul made this up. His enemies said, well, you made all this up. You said you saw a vision of God or of Christ, and you're a liar. You're just a lunatic. Paul says, no, I certify you. Okay, I'm trying to show you and prove to you. This was not after me. I did not make this up. And again, we often joke about this, but we often say to people, listen, I didn't recite it, or I didn't write it. I just recite it, right? Don't kill the messenger here. And the inevitable fact of it is that the prophet or the preacher usually gets persecuted simply because he's saying, thus saith the Lord, right? I didn't write it. You know, they did what they did to Jeremiah. He said, thus saith the Lord. You know what they did to Isaiah. He said, thus saith the Lord. You know what they did to all the prophets in the Old Testament. What they did to Daniel, thus saith the Lord. So again, coming back to this, it was propagated by the apostles. Paul says, I didn't do this. I received it by revelation of Jesus Christ one day on his road, on the road to Damascus, to persecute more Christians. Bright light shone down from heaven. You know the story, Acts 9. Who art thou, Lord? Jesus said, you know who I am. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, Saul. And I fell down. He was blinded, all of that. He said, what would you have me to do, Lord? Lord said, get up and go into the city. I'll tell you what to do. And he went in there 3 days, blind, couldn't see, scared to death. Finally, Ananias came in and said, what? Hey, brother, the Lord sent me to tell you that you're his chosen vessel. He wants to use you. The Bible says that scales, like scales, fell off of his eyes and he could see again. Now, we know he later would have major issues with his eyesight, a thorn in the flesh, we believe, to buffet me, to keep me humble, he says. But it was propagated. Paul says, I didn't receive this or make this up on my own. They received instructions directly from Christ. Directly from Christ. When he ascended on high, you know, in Matthew, last chapter of Matthew, he says what? Go ye into all the world. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son. He goes on, right? The Great Commission. The apostles didn't stand there and go, teach them what, Lord? What do you want me to do? Teach them out of what book? Teach them what do we do? No, they knew exactly what to do. They knew they had all that they needed. Today, God has given us all that we needed. All that we needed. Everything you need to be a healthy and wealthy, no, I shouldn't say wealthy, healthy, very strong Christian believer, joy, peace, happiness in your life is right here. That we have it. Now it's propagated. They received instructions directly from Christ. Now we know this number two, any defectors from the truth were made known and disassociated with. Any defectors from the truth were made known and disassociated with. You read throughout the epistles of Paul, every one of them. What's he say? He says to Timothy on two occasions, on 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, to the church at Thessalonica, if any man walk disorderly, meaning within the church, the brotherhood, have nothing to do with him. Now you obviously love and care for him and help him. He says, first of all, show him the truth. If they refuse to hear that, you back away from them. You understand that? Defectors from the faith, from the truth, they were made known. This is just, I'm just coming back to saying, we're a nation that's over God because number one, as we've seen, we have been given the truth, but we've rejected the truth, just like the churches at Galatia, just like the churches. Number three, they were eyewitnesses of Christ. Eyewitnesses. Go with me to 2 Peter, would you? 2 Peter here. Go to the back. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Notice here, verse 16. They were eyewitnesses of Christ and the truth. 2 Peter 1:16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. That's made up stories. Fairy tales. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, notice this, and underline this in your Bible, we're eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. With him in the holy mount. Now we'll continue just a minute. You know the story. They went up to the mount. Peter, James, and John heard the voice, all these things. And Peter says what? Should we worship Moses, Elijah? What's the God say? The Father. Hear him. This is my beloved son. Hear him. That's who I want you to hear. That's who I want you to follow. You want to follow the prophets and the law? No. Hear Jesus Christ. He says we're eyewitnesses to this truth. It was propagated by men who were eyewitnesses to the majesty and power and truth of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus stood before Pilate. And Pilate, in those most profound conversation, I think, in all of human history between him and Jesus Christ, Pilate said what? What is truth? When truth incarnate, Jesus Christ is the truth, bodily composing truth, stood in front of Pilate, and Pilate had the audacity to ask, what is truth? Isn't that the world today? They have truth in their face. They have truth right before them. They have truth right in front of them. And they say, well, what is truth? It's right here. Oh, I don't believe the Bible. Well, what is your truth then? Oh, I don't know. I don't really have a truth. That's the truth. We have the truth in front of us today. This is the world we live in. This is the America we live in today. We have the truth. We know the truth. Our public school system is teaching heresies to our little children, to the next generation, when they know the truth. Let me say letter C. It's preached by then God-ordained men. It was given by Christ, propagated by the apostles who were eyewitnesses, and now today it's preached by God-ordained men. Now we must identify these men by their fruits, right? As Jesus said, how do we know? The people said, how do we know, Lord, between the wolves and the sheep? What if a wolf comes in? What do we do? He says, well, you'll know them by their fruit. Does their fruit match up to this? Does their fruit match Galatians 5? I don't know. We have the truth. We come back to the Bible. It was preached. Let me go back to Galatians 1 again, as we see. And Paul says, listen, you'll know these men. You'll know them. Galatians 1, verse, notice 15. Verse 15, but when it, notice, pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. You know something fascinating? Paul understood that God had chosen him from the beginning of his life, from his mother's womb. And he later will say how utterly, discouraged, defeated, depressed he was to know that he wasted so many years of his life when he knew God called him from the womb, just as he said to Jeremiah. He wasted so many years persecuting Christians, putting them down. Let me say again, it pleased God, verse 16, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. He didn't go get the approval of Peter, James, and John, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. He goes on. And Paul says, I didn't go to confer and get my approval from man, but I got it from God, from Jesus Christ, to reveal in me. Now, you know, Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. He was sent out, called by God to the Gentiles. Peter was primarily to the Jews. But Paul was called to the Gentile nation. He says, preach among the heathen. Fascinating to me as I was studying this, you know, the most proud Jew to ever live, I believe, was Paul. The most proud or the proudest Jew to ever live was called not to the Jews, to the heathen. The people that he hated, disdained, despised, couldn't stand the Samaritans, couldn't stand those other people. And God says, that's a funny thing. I'm going to call you to those people. Never underestimate God, right? I said one time when I was young in my teens, I'll never go back to church. And I ended up eating crow on that one. And he has a funny way to do that, doesn't he? But you think about, he says he came and God called him. We identify these men by their fruits. We can prove their authenticity by the word of God. We know that if what they preach contradicts the Bible, the Bible's always right, and I'm always wrong, and man is always wrong. We know that. 1 Thessalonians, we know, 5:21, he says that, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Now that's for you and that's for me. Let me say, as we move, second point here, and I will begin to move along here, there is another gospel. Now, we've been given the truth, but there is another gospel out there today. As we come back to this, now, I shouldn't have had you turn back, but let's go back to 2 Peter, It's a good exercise for us to turn in our Bibles, isn't it? Or your iPad or your phone, whatever you're using today. 2 Peter. Now let's go to chapter 2. 2 Peter 2. Now, Notice what Peter describes here. He says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily, privately, secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, he describing this, what was the two verses that precede verse 1 of chapter 2? Well, that's chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Let's read that. Chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now that means it's not of any private interpretation. It's publicly known, right? You know it. Anyone comes to you and says, oh, I had a private revelation from God. No, you didn't. We have all that we need in the Bible. That's what he's saying. It's no private interpretation. It's public. It's for everybody. There's nothing missing. We have no excuses. So then he says this, there will be false prophets. There will be false teachers among you who will bring in damnable heresies. A damnable heresy is a doctrine that sends somebody to hell. It's a false gospel, isn't it? It's a false gospel. And we know that. Somebody that sends them to hell, even denying the Lord that bought them. Verse 2, many shall, chapter 2, verse 2, notice. Many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Is that America today? The way of truth is evil spoken of. You live for the Lord. Our kids live for the Lord. Try to. They get made fun of, you know. We try to live for the Lord at work, all of you do, around your family members and such, and stand up for Christ, and don't use foul language, and don't participate in the perverted things that they talk about and do. And what's that? You're cast out. You're put aside. This is what he's talking about. The truth shall be evil spoken of. Through verse 3, covetousness, they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. It's another gospel. Another gospel is a perversion of the truth, as Peter says. It's damnable heresies, denies Christ. Denies Christ. By the way, you can always tell a cult by their view of Jesus Christ. They will deny Christ, don't they? What do you believe about Jesus? Well, he was a good teacher, but I don't know. There's a lot of Jesus Christ out there, right? We talked about. They're called antichrist. They're self-willed, lustful. They speak words of vanity. All of these things he's talking about. They're servants of corruption, he later says. Now, he goes on to give several examples as well in 2 Peter. And it is different from what Paul preached. Again, as we said that. I marvel you're so soon removed unto another gospel. It's a different word, scripture. It's dividing of the truth. It's directed towards the flesh. That's why we're very careful, at least we try to in our church here, be very careful about the music and be very careful about the Bibles that we use, particular about that. We're careful about certain things. Why? Because the word today of the world is directed towards the flesh. And I think there's a lot of sincere people out there, as you do. You have a lot of family members as well. They worship God and they're very sincere. Particularly here in our church, we don't do the smoke and mirrors. We don't do the rocking out for a reason. We believe personally that it's sensual. We believe that it appeals to the flesh. And I know there's a lot of good people that do worship the Lord in sincerity. I'm not knocking that. But you know what I mean. We're very careful about this. And Paul states that the fruits of the flesh, Galatians 5, you can go through that and you know those verses on your own. 5. Let me hasten here and get through these last two points. We're then to identify and reject the false gospel. Now, the gospel's man-centered, as Paul already clarified that. Let me read you a couple of the top-selling Christian books. If you go to Barnes & Noble, by the way, don't go to Barnes & Noble. You go to Barnes & Noble, go to their Christian section. It's pretty pathetic. There's a lot of good stuff, but let me read you some of the top Christian books, what they are. Number one, Joel Osteen. Listen to the book, top-selling book. Think Better, Live Better, You Can, You Will, is his second book. It's Your Time, Become a Better You, and here's one of his most famous, Your Best Life Now. This is my best life now. That's pathetic. Paul says if this life is all we have, we're of all men most miserable. We have loved ones and we love life and we love what God's blessed us with and we try and do our very best in this life. But listen, folks, this is not our home. We're just passing through our heaven. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. We know that. But this is what the man, top-selling Christian author says, your best life now. Let me read another one. There's a man by the name of Brian McLaren, leader of the what we'd call the New Age, postmodern or emergent church scene. Listen to his books. A New Kind of Christianity, right? A New Kind of Christianity. if you follow this book, there's one Christianity, but this is, again, they're always looking for new truth. They're always looking for something fresh and new. This goes all the way back to the Greeks. A new kind of Christianity. Another book, The Secret Message of Jesus. Secret message. Oh, what's he saying? Jesus didn't give us all we need, right? There's something missing. Jesus forgot to give us something. Oh, I forgot to tell you guys, you have to believe in me to get to heaven. Oh well, you're damned to hell. That's not our Lord, is it? That's not our Savior. He's given us all we need. The secret message of Jesus. Jesus had no secret message. Listen to what he said in John 18:20 as he stood trial. I spake openly to the world, not just Jerusalem, not to Galilee, to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. He sought the Jews out. Listen to that. And in secret I have said nothing. Jesus said that. On trial, about to give his life for us. In secret I said nothing. And these heretics come out and say, the secret message of Jesus. We think about today. There's another man by the name of Rick Warren. You know him probably. Very, very prominent leader. His most famous book is The Power to Change Your Life. The Power to Change Your Life. You have no power to change your life. The gospel changed, the Holy Spirit. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's the power of the Scripture. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Power to change. I'm just saying, I'm trying to identify here. The gospel today, the doctrine today of America is man-centered. And we see that. It's all about man. The gospel, number two, is man-pleasing. It's man-pleasing. It does not offend man. We have to be careful. We don't want to offend anybody today. We've got to be tolerant of everybody. As I said a few weeks ago, Christians, we have to be careful because we're not called in the Bible to be tolerant. Now, we're not mean, divisive, or we don't go out and hate, you know, beat down on people, but we do preach the truth. And when we do that, we will receive persecution. But it, again, it's man-pleasing. It doesn't offend. We don't preach about gay marriage. We don't preach about homosexuality. A lot of churches today have put aside hell. We don't preach about hell. You know this. A man by the name of Rob Bell, a very famous Christian author, but he's a heretic. He came out and said, hell is not literal. Hell is when you go through bad times on earth. He's damning. That's a damnable heresy Peter talked about. Damnable, sending people to hell. Now later in Galatians 4, verse 16, Paul will speak very candidly and he says, have I become your enemy because I've told you the truth? And when you tell people the truth, you become an enemy, don't you? Many times. We see that today. Now I'm encouraging you folks, stand up for the truth, stand up for your rights. Stand up for what you believe in. It exalts man and lowers God. Always does. We know John the Baptist. He said this, he must increase, I must decrease. When he's increased in my life, I automatically decrease. That's what John the Baptist said right before they took his head off, didn't they? He must increase, I must decrease. He saw him walking along the shores of Galilee. He said, behold, the Lamb of God was taken away what? The sins of the world. That's him right there. But John, aren't you a great prophet? Aren't you something special? He says what? I'm not even worthy to latch the sandals of this man, to bow down. They get him down into the water, into the lake, and he says to Jesus, shouldn't you be baptizing me, Lord? Jesus said, suffer it for now. John understood this and knew this. He said that. Now, that's not John exalting himself, and that's what we have today. It's gospel of America. It's man-pleasing. Let me say here lastly, and I'll wrap it up. There are preachers of false gospels. Let's go back to Galatians 3, and thank you for going back and forth in your Bibles. Galatians 3, and we'll conclude here. This morning, Galatians 3 says there in verse 1, Galatians 3, 1, O foolish Galatians, O foolish, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Now, so we see here lastly, there are preachers of the false gospel. They are bewitching. Again, that word bewitching, Greek word, baskene, means to slander, to bewitch by spells, to delude, to water down, if you will. He goes on to say that you should not obey the truth. You're watering down the truth, watering it down. They preach a works-based gospel. Every religion else, you know this in the world, says do, right? Ours says done. Jesus Christ did it all. Do this and do that. Do this. Recently, just recently, maybe the last 10, 15 years, several prominent pastors or Christian leaders that were of our evangelical kind of circles, a couple pastors in particular, have denied the faith and gone back to the Roman Catholic Church. And they said, we're going back to the Roman Catholic Church, our mother church. You liars. We've never been a part of the Roman Catholic Church. There is a bloodline of us true Bible believers throughout all of history. And it said, and one of the men made the statement, he said, I came to this realization that I come back to the mother church by reading the church fathers. When you hear the word church fathers, when we hear church fathers, we think of the apostles. When they say church fathers, they mean the Roman Catholic fathers that were right after Jesus Christ. Be very careful, because they will, this word here, bewitch you. Bewitch. And you think about how many remember the show Bewitched. Is it called Bewitched? Yeah, I didn't really see it, okay. But you think that's what people do. They ding and they want everything changed. We want that today, watered down. Let me hasten here. They preach a works-based gospel. Christ has become no effect, he says. I believe that's chapter 5. Yeah, chapter 5, verse 4, he says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. Fallen from grace. There's no more effect on their hearts. There's no more effect on their conscience of Christ. Paul says in 1 Timothy, they have their conscience seared with a hot iron. You wonder sometimes how people can do what they do and keep doing it and be so vile and wicked. Their conscience is seared. And the more you are involved in that sin of a habitual, sinful nature, the more your conscience is seared. And Christ has become no effect of you. Where once they were moved by the Spirit, they're now calloused to His moving in their lives. Where once people stood for the faith, they become callous and turn back. We're to hold on to the truth and preach the truth. He says in chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Sometimes we bondage ourselves, don't we? We have no excuse for not knowing the truth. We are to be under sound biblical preaching. We're to be under sound biblical preaching and teaching.
We're in turn then to go and propagate that truth to those around us. Now, let me wrap it up here and say again, we're a nation that's not known for God. We're a nation that's no longer Christian in what we believe. Yeah, we say we are, but you think about it. When it comes down to lining up with this Bible, we're far, far off. We're far, far off. We're no longer where we're supposed to be, where we should be. We've gone away from the plumb line, as Amos says, the measuring tape. And again, I said it's not hard to understand. You take the Bible, you read the Bible, you apply the Bible, and it's going to make your life change, isn't it? And that's how our nation started out. Our fathers, our forefathers came and said, we've found a nation upon this Bible, and we've won it to change. As I read a couple weeks ago, many of the founding fathers wrote the same thing and said, listen, our nation in the beginning, those 13 colonies, one thing was common with all of them. They knew the Bible. They knew the Bible. And I believe that. They knew the Bible. Today, do you know the Bible? We'll continue a little bit, hopefully next week, with this. But I want to encourage you with this today, my friends. Don't be discouraged or downtrodden. We already know this. We already know America's going down. We be what we're supposed to be. Paul says, you already know what's out there. You already know what you're supposed to do, not to do. You do what you should do. You follow the word. You have all that you need right here in the Bible. Right here in the scripture for the faith. Amen. Okay, I'll stop there today. But I hope you go home today. The more time you spend in scripture, the more encouraged and more strengthened that you will become. I believe these churches in Galatia turned their back on the word of God. There came doubt and fear within the church. All right? Well, thank you for coming today. Praise God that you're being faithful to Him. Stay true. Stay faithful, my friend. Stay going. Persecution will come. You stay faithful to Him. Amen? All right. Thank God for you. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed today. Lord, thank you again for an opportunity to share your word. Thank you for the wonderful faithfulness of these people. I praise you for that. I ask that you help us, Lord. We know what's out there. You warned us about this 2,000 years ago. What a wonderful book we have. We ask that you'd empower us, Lord, and strengthen us to be who we're supposed to be in these latter times, the end time apostasy that we see all around us. Lord, we know one thing, that not only this world and America, but the churches will become diluted, they will become contaminated, and Lord, we pray that be a church that will be strong and healthy and pure until you come. We ask that you would strengthen us to do so. Keep us safe, Lord, and protect us from those wolves that would come to try and divide and hurt and harm our flock. Keep us safe. Be with us, Lord, in the days ahead. As we approach the latter part of this year, we thank you for all that you've done, but we do ask that you strengthen us as a church to move ahead in the new year, to continue building and growing and moving forward for your honor and glory. Help us, Lord, as we go our way this day. In Jesus' precious name, we pray all of this. And amen and amen. Thank you.